Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny show. Joining me today is Brian Malkiewicz.
Hey, guys.
Sean Finnegan, you're back as always.
Hello.
Thank you for joining us, everybody. Today, we're going to be discussing why we like or love the 2.0 update.
Or hate.
The Rift mode in Destiny, now that we've all experienced it. Do we think it's better than Capture the Flag? And Destiny's PlayStation exclusive content. Does it
exclusive?
Exclusive. Sometimes I can't speak. Does it hurt the community as a whole? Thanks for joining me today, guys. I'm really excited.
Glad to be here.
Yeah. A lot of exciting stuff happening in Destiny right now.
Yeah. Lots. I mean, we're now days away from the Taken King. Yep. I'm sure the hype is real for most people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, about 4 days away. There's a ton of stuff happening in the tower. So let's talk about it. Why we love the 2.0 update. It's really exciting. There's a ton of stuff happening. We have access to Rift right now, which isn't really part of the 2.0 update, but it kind of is. They're doing like a week-long thing where everybody gets to try out all the new multiplayer maps and the new modes. Guys, what do you love about it? We'll start with you, Brian.
Necrochasm.
Yeah, it's
number
a feasible
one.
Number
weapon,
one.
Right?
Yeah, it's not so great in PvP, although it is. You know, satisfying to get that thrall headshot and kill another player in PvP, but it has like 30% boost against PvE right now.
Yeah.
So it's a good weapon to use in PvE.
Yeah, it needed
and it's satisfying now that they changed it that way. The thrall.
Yeah, verdict is still out on whether or not auto rifles are usable in PvP.
Yeah.
But that 30% increased damage to AI combatants in PvE certainly makes auto rifles like a viable thing in PvE, which is great.
Definitely. For me, the damage drop off in PvP, it just doesn't make them viable. You're still going to lose to a pulse rifle every time.
I still lose to Red Death and every Hopscotch Pilgrim in every match.
I do find that hard light is pretty viable if you're fighting one on one. Once you have to fight more than one at a time, it becomes difficult.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But it's kind of nice that we can actually use our auto rifles again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, have you jumped into PvP lately? Like, everyone's using all sorts of weapons.
Yeah.
Like, I hear Last Words, I hear Thorns, I hear Red Deaths, I hear Necrochasms, I hear Hard Lights, I hear Suroses. Like, they're all over the place.
People are trying to figure out what works again.
You know?
Yeah, it's like the beginning. Everybody just wants to know what's the most OP weapon right now.
Yeah.
And that's really fun.
That's really fun because
we get to pop into our old gear and like be like, oh, I'm going to try this out for a few matches and see if it works or whatever. I really like that about the update. I mean, just bringing all the weapons back into the fold and kind of making you second guess stuff that was useless before. I mean, Nilem Beyond still useless, but the Necrochasm.
Yeah, there's still a few weapons that are just not good.
Shout out to Zer for trolling us in the last year selling Nilem Beyond.
Yeah, thanks. So what else happens in the 2.0 update? The vendors have changed a little bit, like the gunsmith.
Yeah, that's pretty fun, even though it's kind of useless this week because you kind of just don't get anything.
Not really. You can get all the bounties done, and you can set yourself up for launch day.
True.
Which will be Wednesday, actually. Wednesday will
be
Arms Day.
The weapon bounties for the Arms Day thing?
Yeah, so you go to the gunsmith
maybe that's
right now. You go to the gunsmith right now, and you can buy all the weapons, then you can complete the bounties, and then I believe it'll be next week. Wednesday, he'll have packages available, and you get to choose one, I believe. And I really, really liked this bounty. I really like this gun. I want the legendary version of it. You know, you can cash it in and get it from the gunsmith.
Cool. Yeah, I was wondering how that stuff worked, but it's a nice little preview of like what's to come. What I like about the 2.0 update is like it just feels like there's a lot of new stuff to be doing, right? Before, when you hopped into Destiny after the weekly reset, it was like, all right, I got to do the Nightfall, I got to do both raids, I got to do it on all three characters, and then I got to do the PvP bounties, and then for me it was some select PvE bounties and then the Queen's bounties. And it was just like you went down this checklist, right? It's like, well, there's all sorts of other stuff you can be doing, and all of it is kind of like equally valuable, so you have to prioritize differently, and it just feels all very new, which is cool.
Like, one of the first things I did is I went through my Sunsinger subclass quest, and it's like an 8 or 9-part quest. A lot of people are worried you're not going to get the emblem. Bungie did clarify that you will get it. You actually haven't completed the whole thing. They're going to add another step. That is how you unlock the emblem. So I was really worried because that quest was kind of a pain.
So I didn't do it because I'm worried about not getting the experience, like using
towards
being awarded
40.
The experience and then not already being at the level cap. Was that a worry for you? How much experience are you getting per quest step?
I'm not worried about it.
I'm not worried about the XP because, like, from seeing other people play from level 30 to 34 and how fast it is to level up.
Right.
I think most people are going to hit 40 the first day.
Yeah.
No problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think you're right there.
James in the office, I mean, he was like, I was 28, now I'm 30, 32.
Yeah,
and I'm like, you're using the new leveling
of
system.
Like less than 4 hours of gameplay.
Yeah, and you can redo the story missions. I am not worried about XP.
I mean, my only... I'm not worried about being able to hit it on the first day, but since I'm doing it all on stream,
right,
I do want it to go as fast as possible. So.
Yeah, well, you'll be going through the story and stuff. One thing, Sean, that you do get for completing your subclass quest is I got an exotic for pre-ordering the DLC, the new content. And then I also got a purple legendary armband for my warlock.
Nice.
So you get that for completing your subclass, and that will help up your light level.
You got legendary?
But you can't
blue.
Equip it, right? Isn't it level
it's
40?
It's a 40, so as soon as you hit 40, you're going to have gear to throw on to bump your light level way up.
There's also another quest line. I think it was the Sunsinger class one that gives you a blue one.
That's the one I did. I got a purple though.
Okay, so there's one. There's a quest line. I forget which one it is, but it
and
gives
I bought
you
a blue ghost from the speaker.
It's the leveling up to 30, which gives the warlock
a
blue bond, which gives you 180 defense.
A 180, that's nice.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a Titan mark that's max 150 defense from before that I'm using, and it's ugly. So.
Yeah.
I had a question. Oh, the exotic you got. What is that exotic?
It was an armband. So I think that's called a class item.
Right, class item.
You know, so like the warlock bond.
Okay.
It was actually an exotic. It didn't have any perks that make me say, okay, yeah, I'm definitely going to use that.
So
I also got a few new shaders, but that's like not as interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of all about the shaders if they look cool because they're just, they're unique. Like, after I got Blacksmith that one time at, what was it, E3? And I was like, wow, no one has this. I've all been all about shaders. But I still haven't pre-ordered the game yet because I'm kind of just, like, philosophically against pre-ordering things.
But when you have cool stuff to get for
doing it. I don't want to encourage, pre-order bonuses.
No, that's great.
Like, I don't like it when companies do that, and I don't want them to think that I want that, so I don't pre-order things. Even if I know I'm going to play it and I want to, like the Taken King. So I just wanted to know if it was like a weapon or something, then I'd be like, feel forced to.
You're going to get the Suros weapons.
But you get that.
We don't know that those aren't exotics, though.
I don't
think
they're
probably legendaries.
Are they legendaries?
And they're probably going to be like, I don't know.
I figured they were going to just be blue weapons.
PvP weapons from House of Wolves. They're just not that good.
I don't know.
I'm just assuming.
I don't know how the mechanic works, but you can... Any year two weapons you can make better by infusing, using the infusion mechanic,
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting to see what you can do there.
I wonder if there's like a cap on that.
Speak... Yeah, I don't know. Speaking of shaders and stuff like that, what do you guys think of the collection system? Did you check that out at all? That raid ship.
Yeah, the raid ship looks sick. Awesome. Yeah. It looks cool.
Yeah.
It reminds me of like the ship version of Necrochasm.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's really got sharp edges and looks like very.
It's got that hive.
It looks hivey.
That broke, not broken, I like but it. You know, tattered hive look to
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
It looks pretty cool.
It is cool.
It's like a dried bone with like sinewy insides. And
we
yeah,
need
I like way, it.
We need cooler ships. Mm-hmm. Like yeah. we need cool. Like in House of Wolves, we got those like the four different colored. The Varric ships.
They look the same.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're all the same,
but the colors
and getting
are
rep with Varric sucks.
Yeah,
it takes forever.
Really
I played so
easy.
Much Prison of Elders, I think I'm still only rank 2.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, like I did just enough to get the ships, and then I bought all of them and was like, I'm never going to use these because I have the PoE 35 ship. Yeah. But yeah, the like give me more ships to acquire because that is cool, man. Like
so
I'm
don't
down
look
yeah.
the same.
Sorry,
yeah.
keeping on track. Track with what we were talking about. How do you feel about the collection system then, Sean?
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
collection
you have
system.
Stuff to go for.
Yeah, I mean, it was really cool to actually go in and look at all the stuff that I've acquired and see it all on one pane. And
yeah,
be like,
right.
Wow, I actually have most, if not, I'm missing like one, I'm missing No Land Beyond and Necrochasm from year one.
Well, you can get No Land Beyond today.
Yeah, so I'm going to buy that, but
thanks,
it's nice
I'm
to be able to see everything
armor.
There on one on one pane. I'm missing kind of a lot of the armor too.
Yeah, I'm missing a lot of armor, but I'm more.
I'm missing Bones of EO, the Ram, and I have bought so
you
many helmet engrams. I bought so many helmet engrams, and it's the only one I can't get.
I finally
so that's,
got it,
that's
like
what I'm missing.
Weeks ago.
I have a Ram sitting in my inventory just from like a long time ago.
Do you know how many Celestial Nighthawks I got? Like seven. Seven
so
Celestial Nighthawks.
So when I was trying to get Celestial
that today too.
Yeah,
when
great.
I was trying to get Celestial Nighthawk, I bought a lot of engrams, and after like the fifth, I was trying to get Acleophage Symbiote,
yeah.
and I got like 7 or 8 Celestial Nighthawks in a row, and I was like, nope,
yeah.
wasting shards yeah. and stuff at this point.
Yeah, I had to stop, and I'm just like, whatever, I just won't have that helmet now.
Yeah.
Yeah,
It's cool because like I don't know, it's all
it's
of that stuff.
It's the coolest looking one though, the Ram and Celestial are two of the best looking helmets in the game.
True.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still partial to... Eternal Warrior? No, I'm just kidding. That's the ugliest one.
I like it.
No.
I don't think it's that bad.
You can change the color now.
It's not one of
the
best. It's definitely not one of the best.
Oh, it's definitely not one of the best. I would say it's
put a pink shader on it,
the worst looking helmet in the game.
Yeah, it is.
That's funny.
No, but collections are really cool. All of that stuff that you would have had in your inventory and cluttering up your vault before is now just in neatly organized by content type.
God,
and
I love
it.
It gives you stuff to strive towards, too. Like,
oh,
you
yeah.
know what? I'm kind of bored. I'm just going to go for that faction shader today.
Yeah.
You know?
It's cool. And
yeah,
you can
like
just access them really easily, nicely, in like those little kiosks in the Vanguard.
You don't have
area.
To hold on to them. You're just like, I can just buy them.
And what's best is, like, if at any point it actually kind of sets you up for the future, because, like, mm-hmm. with Destiny, things are kind of always being weapons and gear kind of being tuned, right?
Yeah.
Like all the time. Like if something goes into and out of popularity, you can kind of like dismantle it for the shard and then later on pick it up again if you need to just by using the blueprint.
Mm-hmm.
Like you'll have to level up again. But
I like
it's just
that.
Like it's always accessible, which is really nice and convenient
mm-hmm.
for people who like customize their gear loadouts a lot.
Right.
Who else dumped all their crap into the vault immediately?
Oh, I did.
I had so
I'm
much
just
stuff.
Like, get out of my inventory.
I was taking King Hits, though. I still have a bunch of like House of Wolves legendaries that I'm still going to dismantle.
Yeah.
There's just a bunch
I'm
going
to get rid of all
use.
The Queen stuff. None of it was really special to me. So it's just like, I don't know.
What
need
Queen
it.
Stuff?
All the Queen legendaries that you could get.
Like,
you know, Her Mercy, Her Benevolence.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't even... I've dismantled all that stuff long ago.
Yeah, I was collecting them because they're all, like, a theme, and I'm just like, all these kind of
Her
stuff.
Benevolence seems to be used a lot in PvP.
Yeah, if you got a good roll on
is
it.
Yeah, if you got a good roll.
You know.
Huh?
Is that the sniper?
Her Benevolence?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the sniper. Right
yeah,
there.
People were saying that Her Benevolence is, if with the right
with
roll,
the good
it's,
roll,
like, one of the best PvP snipers out there.
The vault space is great. I have to give a shout-out to some people. The Dreadnoughts of Oryx clan from Bungie.net, FCM Racer X and Sean Back, they actually helped me out capturing a bunch of stuff for Vanilla Destiny.
FCM Racer, I know that guy. Shout-out to Racer.
Yeah, we play a lot on Xbox.
He's all right.
So I was playing on Xbox just leveling a second character, a hunter, and he was helping me recapture the campaign just for work stuff. You know, we did... Nolan versus Dinklage, and the reason we were able to do that is because he helped me get through the story, quickly. So
can we talk
thanks,
a little
guys.
Bit about that? I know it's not on the list here, but we got to weigh in, right? What do you guys think about Nolan North versus Peter Dinklage?
I think they're equal. I don't see maybe a slight edge to Nolan, but I don't think he added anything dramatic to the storytelling.
So I was going to say Nolan North. We know that Peter Dinklage is an incredible actor. We know Nolan North to be an incredible voice actor.
Mm-hmm.
And also a great actor. But I think this definitively proves that the problem was not in either of their performances. It's in the terrible Bungie script.
Yeah. Agreed.
Because Nolan North is not better than Dinklage, I think. Mm-hmm. In fact,
that is part of the 2.0 update, actually, the voice acting. So.
All I hear is 343 Guilty Spark.
Yep. Right? Yes, yes.
Right?
Totally.
That's all
agree.
I hear.
Totally agree. guys, we're getting a little long on the 2.0 update. So what's your final verdict? Big thumbs up from me.
Yeah.
I'm really liking, it.
A lot to look forward
and
to.
And this is like just tip of the iceberg. We're going to get more on Tuesday when the full Taken King content unlocks.
Shout out to Tuesday, which is when I'll be streaming all day.
Yeah.
We'll talk about at the end of the show. 11 a.m. on Tuesday, and we'll be live Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So if you want to, it's going to be the best way to check out Destiny content, short of playing it yourself. So check back on IGN
for that.
Sadness,
because I'll be in Japan.
With your Xbox.
Brian is bringing his Xbox to Japan during TGS so that he can play Destiny.
He's going to have so much time to do that when he's covering TGS.
There will be plenty of times before the show when there's
Destin,
no show going
you
on.
You underestimate how many hours there are in a day.
Yeah, I guess. You're right. Guys, we have to move on. So next up, we're going to talk about Destiny's Rift Mode. And the question I propose to both of you, being Halo fans, we're all Halo fans, is Rift better than Capture the Flag? Sean, you're like almost pro level Halo guy. So
I used to be.
So
not with these new kids.
What are your
thoughts? These new kids are just too good. I don't think it's better than Capture the Flag. I think Capture the Flag is in a league of its own when it comes to, especially in the Halo, like the way it's played in Halo. Someone pointed out to me on Twitter, Rift is a lot closer in terms of like an analog to Assault, which is like the one bomb system in Halo where both teams vie after the same bomb and have to go deliver it to a point.
That was Halo 3, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, one bomb is a Halo 3 mode.
Uh-huh.
But Assault is like the one
bomb
sort of
mode. They have
modes
like that in like Call of Duty and such too, where it's everybody's going for one thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's way more like that than it is Capture the Flag, where each team has a flag, right? Because there's only one spark and you're both vying for it, and once one team captures it, the other team can't capture it until they kill the runner.
Yeah.
And then even then, it doesn't just drop there and you can't pick it up immediately and go running. It respawns back at its spawn point after like 15 seconds. I like Rift. Mm-hmm. It's a new dynamic that requires people who play PvP a lot to kind of be really in communication with their team and defending their runners and like working out strategies and stuff. So it's fun. It's not Capture the Flag though.
Yeah. I think the big thing is, and I almost wonder if this is a software limitation that just when they built their world is, you can't pass it. You can't pass the flag around.
Yeah.
You know, and
that's actually very interesting. You're right.
I just wonder why they would take that mechanic out, because that adds a whole new dynamic to teamwork. You know, you could pass it to like, okay, I'm going to go down, grab it. And like when you play Capture the Flag in Halo, you would communicate like that often.
Well, one of the other big problems that I see in Rift is that, I mean, sure, it's a new mode and people are still kind of just getting used to it and stuff. And people are pubbing, so they don't necessarily have like a squad that they're running with. Mm-hmm. But people will pick up the spark and their team won't defend them. And I think part of that is that when you're defending someone, you can't, if your runner gets killed.
You have to come out of your comfort zone.
Well, that, but if you're defending your runner and he gets taken out anyway, you can't pick it up.
Yeah.
So there's no real incentive to be near him. Mm-hmm. Like, because you can't, in Capture the Flag, if your flag carrier gets picked off, you can really quickly sprint in there and pick it up and keep it alive,
and
right?
And you feel like a hero.
Yeah, and you're like, I'm keeping it going. Like, you know, team, help me out. And then your team wants to come help you out. Mm-hmm. And then it actually, when you're getting really close to scoring the flag, it can be really intense, right? Like if someone gets picked off right before they get there, and then you're like, all I got to do is get, you know, if you're on the 1 yard line, the flag is right there, and you're sprinting in there, and people are hucking grenades at it and stuff.
And you're
that's
like,
really
kill that
fun
guy
in
before
Halo.
He returns
yeah,
it.
Yeah, like it's
no.
so close. Like you have to stop. Yeah. But it's not like that in Rift, because as soon as it dies, it's just like the Rift's or the spark is gone.
Yeah.
And then like everything's back to normal for a few seconds before it respawns back in the middle. Mm-hmm. It's just not quite the intensity that I had wished it would be. Mm-hmm. But that said, it's a really nice change of pace, and it's better than just playing Clash and Control all day, which is what I did.
Definitely. What about you, Brian? You've been pretty quiet.
I'm a little reserved on the 2.0. It's just a lot of, I see it from my experience, I just see a lot of people just sitting in the back by their thing, just camping
sniping
it.
Sniping.
Yeah, just sitting back there. Just, we'll just wait here.
Until the other guy is trying to get it.
Yeah.
Rift is, I mean, it's hard to pick
also
up
the
spark.
Spawn points. The spawn points.
Yeah, it takes a few
right
seconds.
Now.
Well, just, not even does it take a few seconds, but like Brian said, people just sit back and wait for other people to pick it up and then snipe you or
because they're there for the kills,
it.
They're not there for the game.
Yeah.
Is what the sad part is. And also the spawn points are kind of messed up at the moment, too,
it
as
needs
well.
To be an instant pickup. It can't be like a whatever it is, 1.5 seconds to pick it up.
Yeah.
You die. I die instantly when I'm sitting there trying to pick it up.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely requires teamwork. Otherwise, you are going to die. You need to clear that space before you can even go for it.
Yeah.
I like it. I have to agree with you guys, though. I don't think it's as good as Capture the Flag, but I don't want to sound like I'm being negative about the mode. I actually think it's very, very fun.
No, I'm not saying that. It's just there's a few flaws in it, but it's still fun.
Yeah, I think it's great for Destiny, and I can't wait to see the other modes. In my notes here, Mayhem Clash is going to be opening this weekend.
Oh my gosh.
That's
it.
So that's going to be crazy.
You want to talk about fun? Like, this is my actual first experience playing Rift because I didn't have a chance to get my hands on any Gamescom or
E3. Yeah.
And, like, I'm on the same page as you guys. I think there's some flaws with it. It's not quite as fun as Capture the Flag, but it is a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that. But Mayhem, man. Oh, that's going to be... I'm very excited for people to get in there and just be like, I have supers all the time.
Yeah. It's going to be Golden Gun, Blade Dancer. I don't think anyone's going to do, like, Titan Bubbles.
No one's going to run Titan Bubbles.
No one's going to run Titan
it's gonna
Bubbles.
It's going to get destroyed immediately.
Not when your Golden Gun pops the bubbles.
Does Golden Gun do pop it?
Two shots from a Golden Gun
Yeah,
pops
they
the
changed bubble. It okay. a little, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've changed a couple of things, like... Yeah. A like, Titan Smash inside the bubble will destroy the bubble, but not the Shockwave.
The Shockwave will do it, and the Arc Blades,
their
Shockwave
thing
won't
go
destroy
through.
The bubble. Yeah, it won't go. Yeah. Sorry, it won't penetrate it.
Yeah.
And kill everybody inside it.
That's good.
I don't know though. I've lost to bubble squads before,
But in Mayhem though, would that really work?
Nah,
if you're playing pure defense, you're not going to win in Mayhem.
You're going to see a ton of Warlocks, not Sunsingers. You're going to see Void Warlocks. You're going to see Blade Dancers and Golden Guns, like I said, and you're going to see Titan Smashing. It's going to be crazy.
Pretty much everything except
that's
Defender
just right
and,
now too.
And Sunsinger. I don't
that's
think
just
Sunsinger's
right now too because we don't have the new classes unlocked.
Well, you may see some Sunsinger, right? Don't you get like? I mean, all I know is I see Sunsingers pop their. Mm-hmm. Their ultimate, and they just hurl like 15 grenades.
Yeah, that's it. That's if you're like, using hard
not
toxic
for
fire
Clash.
Too.
Yeah. I don't think you're going to see it for a game type like Clash. I think Sunsinger is going to be more like a team based objective thing.
Yeah.
Clash is just. Is Clash the free for all mode, or is that 3v3?
No, that's 6v6.
Yeah,
team
Rumble's
Slayer.
The free for all. Right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Rumble's free for all.
Yeah, you're right.
I hardly
Clash
play Rumble.
Is 6v6 then.
Yeah. Oh, I hate Rumble.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the free for all modes.
I like the thing in Halo. In Rumble, it's just like, I feel like 80% of my kills get stolen.
Yeah.
That's how
you put
to...
a little DPS on somebody, and then somebody else is like, yeah, I'll take that, thanks.
Yeah, or like, you know, and that's part of my strategy now. Is like, I'll see two people fighting, and I'm like, I'll let them fight for a little bit, and then I'll throw a grenade over there.
Yeah.
Or like, I'll just take one shot on each of them, and then get both of them. It's just, yeah.
Going back to the topic at hand, before we move on, Rift, better than Capture the Flag? Brian, yes or no?
No.
Sean?
No.
Yeah, I gotta go no also, but it's still pretty
still
great.
Still good.
But still good and fun,
don't
but not better than Capture the Flag.
Don't perceive that as a slight or as it being negative, because it's still a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But I'm just, Capture the Flag in Halo
is Capture the Flag
is like
really good.
Yeah.
It's some hard of the best multiplayer experiences of my life.
Except you do get to use your full arsenal, except your super.
That is nice.
Well, yeah, that's true.
That's a big change.
Because you can't use your super, right?
No, you can't. Your super's gone.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you can use your gun. You don't
use everything.
Yeah, you don't have like reduced speed or anything. Are you a little bit more durable when you have the spark?
I don't think so. You're just a big target.
Yeah, but no, it feels like when I've shot people, I'm like, this guy should have been dead by now. And he hasn't been. That's just speculation. I'm not actually sure if you're more durable.
I haven't really
think
I've noticed that.
Yeah. But it feels like it maybe, but I'm not sure.
That's our thoughts on Rift mode. Now, the big question. Destiny. Let me rephrase that. Is PlayStation exclusive content in Destiny hurting the community? Does it hurt? You guys are both Xbox players. I play on PlayStation. How do we feel about this? I'll let you guys start from the Xbox perspective. Brian, I know Sean has a lot to say, so let's hear your thoughts.
I don't feel like I've missed out.
Okay.
I mean, I'll start with the strike missions because I've played a couple of them since they've been available on Xbox.
You're not even getting the OG versions; you're getting the remixed versions too.
Are they remixed?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure what the OG because I've never seen them because I didn't look at them at all before.
Yeah.
I came to Xbox One.
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, there's going to be Taken in there versus.
Oh no,
the
no,
other,
we don't. They're not there yet. Like I've played it, you know, without Taken.
Oh, you can play it now.
You can play them now, but only in the Vanguard Legacy. You can't go to the map directory. I haven't seen.
Got it. So they are still accessible in there.
Yeah, they're accessible through the Vanguard Legacy playlist.
Okay.
I haven't been able to see them on the actual map directory.
Okay.
And choose it by itself. You have to like play the playlist and hopefully get it. And I've played Dust Palace, which is it's unique. I mean, I haven't seen those types of enemies, you know, before.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
So you like him, but you don't feel like you missed out.
I don't
on
feel
anything.
Like I missed out on him, and I mean, I haven't tried the weapons. I mean, I know what Hawk Moon is like.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't played it, but I've seen it, and I'm just like, I don't know if I would have actually ever mained that.
Yeah.
In, PvP.
Especially now, like all those weapons were just kind of made okay. You know. Like,
yeah. Especially now.
Fourth Horsemoon's a little bit better, but like. Yeah, I don't know. You guys weren't really missing out on much. Sean, though, what are your thoughts?
I do think it hurts the community to have exclusive content for one platform. Like, mm-hmm. I think that's a major bummer. And I feel it, like, all the time. It's like, as someone who plays Destiny a lot, mm-hmm. it sucks to hear, especially from, I have friends who play on both platforms. Like,
me.
One of the guys, yeah, you.
Yeah.
This other guy, Stan, HCA, that we always mm-hmm. play with. He plays on both platforms. And
that's
to hear, yeah, to hear people who talk. Jose actually has a character on both platforms as well. To hear people talk about things that only happen on the PlayStation platform, like mm-hmm. to know that there's stuff out there that I'm not experiencing in a game that I play all the time and that I like and mm-hmm. that I support and that I paid the exact same price for, that is a major bummer. Like, even like, ignore the fact that it's not actually that much that you're missing out on, like one or two strikes here and there,
yeah.
one or two weapons here and there. Although, I will make the argument that those like guns that affects the gameplay directly. So that's another major bummer. I paid $60. A PlayStation player paid $60, but he gets more content just for having chosen PlayStation. That sucks. That's anti-consumer right there. Mm-hmm. I think that's a major bummer. And it doesn't matter that it's just one or two weapons or one or two strikes. Like, it's the principle of the thing, right? Like, if...
It's for a year or two.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
Sure, it's also timed. It's not exclusive until
and
forever.
And after the weapons get nerfed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but like that's the other thing is like now people have spent a whole year playing with Hawk Moon, this awesome gun that can one-shot Guardians. Then now I finally get it, and it won't do that anymore, mm-hmm. and it's been changed. Like, that sucks. Like, I will no longer be able to share that experience with people who had that experience
mm-hmm.
prior to that. And that goes for, you know, strikes. It goes for missions. It goes for... the weapons like that. I just think that really sucks, and I'm one of the few people in the, you know, by virtue of working in the industry that I probably have more access to play the PlayStation version if I wanted to
mm-hmm.
than most people. Like Joe Schmo from, you know, Midwest Kansas probably doesn't want or have the means to buy an Xbox One and a PlayStation 4
mm-hmm.
So that he can get all of the content.
You saying like, Kansas people are poor? Just kidding.
I'm just
I hope
saying.
There's a Joe Schmo
I know.
Who,
yeah.
from Kansas
yeah.
watching this.
Joe he's Schmo like, is pissed right
he's
now.
Like, he's like, hey, I got a shout out.
Yeah.
yeah. yeah, I didn't even know he knew me.
No, yeah, like, I just think that there's a lot of people out there who it's unfair to withhold content from them, especially since they paid the same price. Like, I think mm-hmm. that really, really sucks. And I think it does hurt the community. And I'm putting Activision or Bungie or whoever is responsible for it. I don't think it's Bungie.
It's probably Activision.
I'm putting them on blast.
What about
and
Sony?
Sony's the one who's like...
Sony yeah. probably paid money to have exclusive content.
Oh, I'm sure it was. Yeah. Actually, now that you bring it up, I'm sure it wasn't Activision or Bungie. I'm sure it's a Sony thing. Like mm-hmm. Sony was
well,
like...
a Sony agreement with Activision.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, we were allowed to release our footage of the Echo Chamber strike, which... I was able to play at Bungie, and it is really good. It's
See,
really
like,
fun, and that's a
just
PlayStation
hearing that
exclusive.
Sucks, like,
that does
yeah.
kind of suck. I mean,
oh, it's really good?
I
cool.
It.
I'm glad
I'm
you get to, experience it, and
yeah.
I don't.
I had a ton of fun playing it.
Oh, how much did you pay for it?
Well, I was at Bungie.
I paid the
$0.
Same amount.
Yeah. yeah.
is the
yeah.
point. And I don't get it.
I really enjoy it, and it did kind of bum me out. I'm like, man, Xbox players aren't going to get to try this for the first year. I can't talk with Sean and Brian about, you know, this strike and, like, what do you guys think? Do you want to run it together? You know, and that's kind of a bummer for me as
yeah.
a player that plays on both platforms, knowing that we won't get to play that for a year does kind of suck.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. to be fair, I don't think platform-exclusive content in and of itself is a terrible thing. I think it's only a terrible thing when
it
affects
like,
the gameplay directly. Like,
yeah.
look at Dota 2 or League of Legends. There's all sorts of paid content that you can buy that is affects the game only cosmetically, right? Like, if you want an extra hat for your character because you think it looks cool,
yeah.
by all means, buy
That's
it.
Fine.
But that doesn't make your character better. And not that this, like, having exclusive strikes, although I would say guns do affect your character,
yeah.
but, like, it affects the overall experience for sure. Like, you guys have more to do. If the strike is really cool, that's game mechanics and experiences I'm not allowed to have.
For a year.
Yeah. for a year, but still, like, that's
a long time.
That's a long time. Yeah,
a year is a long time.
Like, if it was 3 months, 3 to 6 months, I think that's a little more reasonable. But a year, it's like by the time you get access to it, they're probably going to have Destiny 2 out. Why would you go back and play this Strike?
You know? And I mean,
and it also limits their audience of content that they've created as artists, Bungie, you know.
Yeah, and I think it particularly hurts. And I actually saw a comment that I actually want to address that is similar to this, but like someone got on my case in the comment section about criticizing Bungie or Activision or Sony for doing something like this, and then in the same word, not criticizing Microsoft for Rise of the Tomb Raider, which I think is a different case because that's a whole game, right? Mm-hmm. Like. One, we don't know how long that timed exclusive is going to be. I doubt it'll be a year, right?
I think it'll be a year.
You think it'll be a year before PS people
you think
get
that long?
They paid,
Rise of the Tomb Raider?
They paid a ton of money. I bet it's a year. For a full game, yeah, 1 year.
So, yeah, but I mean, the point is here, like, you're withhold. The whole game is being withheld and it's being exclusive to a platform. And Microsoft paid a whole, like you said, like some X amount of money for that timed exclusivity. And PlayStation people will get it, but the game won't have changed and the experience won't have changed, whether or not you play it now versus a year from now, right? Mm-hmm. That's not the same case when it comes to Destiny. It's like, I'm playing Bungie, I'm playing Destiny right now, you're playing Destiny right now, but the experiences are different, yet we paid the same amount. Like, that is not fair.
It's weird.
Like, when Rise of the Tomb Raider comes out for Xbox, if you don't have an Xbox, you're not going to pay for it because you won't have access to it, right?
You're going to pay for the definitive edition that'll come out a year later.
Right, and when you do that, it'll probably be the same, right? And that's fine because that's how that works. When it comes to multi-platform exclusive, that fragments the community. It diminishes the experience for about half of the audience. Yeah. I don't know how many people play on Xbox versus on PS4. It's probably not half. But a huge chunk of your player base knows and feels like they're getting a significantly less experience, even though they paid the same amount, and that is a bummer.
Definitely. Brian, I like how you're just like, yeah, it kind of sucks a little bit, but whatever. And Sean's like,
I have strong feelings about this.
No, I see where you're coming from. Uh-huh. I mean, he's looking at the whole grand scheme of the thing. I'm just looking
Definitely.
Within Destiny.
Yeah.
But I agree. It does suck.
Yeah. Playing on both platforms, for me, I mean, it's a little bit of a bummer. But I mean, like, in the grand scheme of everything that you're going to get to experience, it really doesn't matter. It's one more thing that, yeah, you don't have access to. It's kind of a bummer, but it's not going to, like, impact your overall experience of The Taken King and everything. You know, at least I don't think so.
I just hope it doesn't
as a PlayStation guy. As a PlayStation guy. Access to all the content.
But I play on both platforms, and, like, just having played through on Xbox, like the story and everything with my Titan, I'm just like, I don't have access to that content, but I don't really care. You know, like it doesn't bother me at all. So
yeah, I mean, like I said, there's some stuff in there that is pretty insignificant. There's some stuff in there that I think is pretty significant, right? Like the strikes, I can deal without one or two strikes, right? Like that's fine.
The weapons are
the
your
weapons,
big
though. Yeah,
point
like
of
that.
Contention.
The weapons directly change PvP. Like. Mm-hmm. When people asked me, like, what are the top weapons, I said, this was Vanilla Destiny maybe a month ago.
The not Hawkmoon.
Yeah, I said, it's Thorn and Last Word 100%, and maybe, like, the Messenger if you're a Pulse Rifle guy, if you have the Adept version. And people were like, what about Hawkmoon? I was like, what's Hawkmoon? Like, I didn't even register, and they're like, oh, it's that hand cannon on PS4 that can one-shot people. And I was like, didn't even know that it was a thing. Like,
yeah,
it changes the gameplay 100%. And as someone who favors gameplay, like I hold gameplay in the highest
regard. Yeah.
You know, like game doesn't. I played Counter-Strike for 15 years. That game looks terrible, but it plays really, really well.
Yeah.
That's the most important thing to me. And so things that affect that, I am very focused on them.
Yeah, guys, let us know what you think about that particular topic in the comments below. You know, you can leave it below all the people still play this game comments and, you know, Destiny haters.
People still play
just
this?
Kidding. But yeah, I really want to know what you guys think about the PlayStation exclusive content.
I don't.
We've reached the end of our show, so we got to do a few plugs. We're Fireteam Chat. Leave a review on iTunes or whatever platform that you listen to this on. I think mostly iTunes people is where they get it. That helps us out a lot, so let us know what you think. You can buy a shirt to support the show. go.ign.com/store. Anything else you guys want to plug before we go?
Yeah, if you're watching the video version on ign.com or on YouTube or our Xbox One app or PS4 app, which you can download.
Roku.
Yeah. give us a like, leave a comment, let us know you're watching. That also really helps. Follow me on Twitter. I'm at I'm Finnegan, and talk to me about this PlayStation exclusive content because I want to change your mind if you disagree with me.
Brian?
Yeah, so I put out this new album. If you guys want
what?
To, I'm just
yeah.
kidding. I'm just kidding. Yeah. No, yeah, no, nothing to plug.
What's your Twitter, Brian X Bang?
Brian X Bang is my Twitter handle. You can follow me there.
Just follow him there and leave him negative comments.
Yeah, you can hate on me.
Yeah.
I'll favorite them all. Let
just
him know that
them.
Yeah.
He's a nerd for bringing his PlayStation to
PlayStation,
yeah,
Tokyo.
Xbox. Maybe you should go somewhere and enjoy your
I
time
will be. I just don't want to miss out on the first day of the Taken King, right?
Fair enough.
Or the raid.
I mean,
I don't
that's a couple days after. But,
yeah. So I have a big Destiny preview that I'm somehow going to finish before Tuesday. Destiny in 5 minutes, where I actually recap the whole story. And it's going to be so nice on Tuesday to finally be able to talk about my thoughts on the campaign, and we'll be back next week Friday at 5 p.m. But until then,
we
need to establish a way to...
That was a quick transition that we weren't ready for, but one other thing real quick. Like I mentioned earlier before, next week, Tuesday, September 15th, launch of The Taken King, IGN Live will be streaming Destiny all day long, and then all day on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. There's a promo article going up live right now, so you can check that out to figure out when the exact schedule is, but check it out, right? We're going to be live.
It's going
to
be a fun time.
We're going to have guests. It's going to be cool. Mm-hmm. Also,
and
today's...
if you're at work and you can't check it out right away, I mean,
or
you
in
can
Japan.
See what Sean's up to.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Also, today's my birthday. Boom. 29 years old.
So I didn't know if it was today or we were just going out today.
No. Well, we're going out today
because
it's my birthday. Yeah.
Happy
September 11th. Never forget.
All right. On that note, until next time,
Guardians
out.
See, I did it this time.
You did?
Yeah.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.